And the little girl gave his life to help out little kids. And she said, when you walked in, I knew this was a day God answered my prayer, because he showed me your face in a vision, in a dream, a week ago. And when that man comes in, you're going to be rescued. Thank you for having mercy on us little children. Undeserved favor. Lots of opportunities to do that. Are we merciful? Withholding justice duly deserved. Clemency for punishment. One of my favorite moments of that, you know very well, Les Misérables. Jean Valjean escapes prison for stealing a loaf of bread, and here he is getting mercy from a priest. And that night, in the priest's home, he is completely treated like an equal. But he defaults in fear that he doesn't have any money, and he steals some silverware, and he runs out. And the police catch him, bring him back to the priest, and say, is this your silverware? Because they want to put him back in prison. And in a stroke of literary genius from Victor Hugo, the story goes that the priest says, yes, those are my dishes of silver, but you forgot something. And he goes to the hutch, the arbor, and he takes the precious candlesticks. He goes, you forgot the candlesticks that I gave you. You know, verses like, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's mercy. Great play, great movie. I recommend that to you. Jesus says, blessed are those who are merciful. That word blessed has a couple of angles too. When we see someone who's doing really, really well, living the dream, having a life of gaiety, like last night at the gala, we look at those people all dressed up in their 20s and say, woo, you guys are living the dream. Jesus says, blessed, the good life, the flourishing life. You can have that. And then the word blessed, makarios, can mean looking at someone who's super blessed and doing well and flourishing and saying, wow, aren't you flourishing? It can also be, Liam, we want to bless you as you go into your future. May the Lord bless you as you serve him. Two angles of blessing. And Jesus says, you are living the flourishing, the good life. You're blessed big time if you're merciful. Your mercy is from me. It's a blessing. Somewhere to someone. I love the humble posture of one of my favorite pastors. His tagline is, I'm no one telling everyone about someone. I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody. And when you look at people who are blessed, Jesus turns this kingdom upside down and says it's about being poor in spirit, mournful, meek, suffering, hungry and thirsting, merciful. Amazing. Upside down kingdom. Mentions of mercy. And in the context of mentioning mercy, where does the Bible use it? It's amazing. It's amazing where merciful shows up in the scriptures. We'll start with Jesus. In the book of Luke, he says, don't judge. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Give, it'll be given to you. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. You'll be blessed. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. As you receive it, Jesus says, be merciful, because I'm merciful. In the Old Testament, the first mention of mercy was very interesting. Sometimes when you see a word in context in the Bible, look at the first time it's used and why, and you'll be, oh, that's interesting. Are we familiar with Lot? Lot is an absolute dead loss, a wreck of a human being, and the first time mercy is used is the context of Lot. God says to Abraham, I want you to go. Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house. I will show you where to go. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you so that you'll be a blessing. So Abraham went. When God says go and you went, you're sent and you're put. And I love the fact that Abraham obeys, but he does one thing that God told him not to do. It says, leave your country and your kindred. And he takes creepy Uncle Lot with him. You can read it in Genesis 19. Lot is a problem. And in Genesis 19:16, Lot says to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to me. Angels took Lot by the hand, helpless, foolish, deserving punishment, and they showed him mercy, and they took him out of Sodom." It's amazing. When you receive mercy, the only perfect response is thank you. However mercy comes to you, you say thank you, and you let God do what only he can do, be merciful in and through you. The word mercy shows up in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, talking about the steadfast love of God, showing steadfast love and mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Amazing how that word mercy comes up there. It comes up in the nature of God in a moment with Moses. Exodus 34, the Lord passes before Moses and he proclaims his very self. And it says, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and sin. Mercy lets you off the hook for those things that you do. It comes up in relationships, mercy. James, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Love that in relationships. Had a friend who has a couple of daughters, and he illustrated this beautifully when it comes to the law and wanted to keep the commandments and the rules. Mercy triumphs over the law, over judgment. A love covers a multitude of sins. Two daughters wanted to go out for Halloween and dress up as princesses. So he said, "I'm going to buy you brand new princess dresses." And he does. And they're all excited about showing all their friends at school a week before what the princess dresses look like. So he wants to help them understand this principle. So he says, "Okay, if you go to school in your princess dresses before Halloween, you can't get them dirty. Get them ripped. They got to be perfect when you come back because we want them to be ready for Halloween. So whatever you do, don't get the princess dresses dirty." So little girls go to school that day, come back, and daddy says to them, "If you go to school and on your way home or to school, you see someone in the ditch who's bleeding and bruised and bloody or muddy and hurt, what do you think is going to make daddy happier? Keeping your princess dress perfect and clean and pristine, or helping the person in need?" They got it. "Well, of course, Daddy, we're going to help the person in need. And the princess dress, what we look like on the outside, means nothing compared to helping someone in need." That's mercy. We want to be a church, and we are a church, that goes out of its way to demonstrate mercy to those in need. James also says, regarding mercy, wisdom is involved. The wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. I love it in Micah. "Who is a God like you? Pardons iniquity, passes by the transgressor." Here's the candlesticks. Go and sin no more. "He keeps his anger. He does not keep his anger forever. He delights in mercy." Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear this. Psalm 25. "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, they've been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth." Don't remember those dumb things I did when I was a kid. Those dumb things I did last week, those dumb things I'm thinking right now. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me." That preaches well. Thief on the cross. In one moment, Jesus says, "Of course, you'll be with me today in paradise." Many more Romans and Psalms, and we'll take some time to unpack those another time. But the making of the merciful, for a third point here. Are you merciful is the title of the sermon. The answer is yes, yes, yes. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you're merciful because it's not your mercy, it's his. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's a gift that you have right now, and it's merciful. Whatever you do, I don't want you to leave today thinking, wow, I need to work up mercy. Go do something to prove that I'm merciful. Try and say, yay, wear the t-shirt. Throw the bumper sticker on, I'm merciful. No, no. Realize you have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Peter says it this way, amazing. Good to remember. Ephesians 1, 2 Peter 1. These verses are pivotal to walking with Jesus. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has, Eli? Come on, baby. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It's a gift. I'm marrying my friend Colton in a couple weeks. Not that we're getting married, but I get to perform the ceremony. Just in case the internet blows up on that one, I love my wife. I'm a married man. He was in this little cute sitcom called Some Assembly Required. Anybody buy the barbecue from Canadian Tire? Man, sometimes I say yes to the stupidest things. Dan, you're coming up to the cottage. Yay, would you do us a favor when you come to the cottage? Could you bring the new barbecue? And I'm like, great. I'm expecting the barbecue to be nice, tidy, and assembled so I can put it on the deck and cook. Oh no, it's in the box. Who's like me? You do not read the instructions. You just try and fit. Herb, you're one of those. John, good. Happy Father's Day. No dissing. You can't diss today, Kim. Sorry. So I'm that guy. I open the barbecue and I can figure this out. And my wife goes, whose dad is really handy, who reads instructions. Well, some assembly required to the barbecue. Yes, of course you've received everything in Christ. Of course the Holy Spirit is in you. But the Christian life has some assembly required. Right? You got to get up in the morning, tired, maybe a little miserable, and say, I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to spend time with my Lord because I get to. Not because I have to, but because he's my King and he's shown mercy to me. I'm going to show mercy to that individual that really irritates me. I know we're not going to walk out of here and get persecution Middle East style with rocks. But we get irritated a lot, and we need to show kindness. I had a friend who had a chance to speak to a very large audience, not very much opportunity, small home Bible study leader, and finally, boom, the big crowd. And as they prayed and asked the Lord, where should I go in my message today? A little whisper from heaven was, tell them I love them. Jesus loves me, this I know. And the reaction of the Bible teacher was, what? I mean, come on, they know that. And the whisper from heaven was, deep in the heart of this Bible teacher, if they knew that, they would not treat each other the way they do. If they knew how much I loved them, they wouldn't think, act, speak, and treat each other the way they do. For this very reason, says Peter, make every effort to add to your faith. Some assembly required. I like the way Paul says it. Work out your salvation because God's working in you. Some assembly required. I struggle, agonizomai, a great word. I struggle with his energy that's so powerfully at work in me. Are you merciful? Yes. Do you need some assembly with your mercy and some working out your love languages in your life? Yes, we all do. So let's enjoy it. Let's take one more step today in our love and mercy for others. making of the merciful. Mercy takes countercultural courage. The Good Samaritan, countercultural courage. He makes a really, really tough call by helping someone you're not supposed to help. It can risk your safety. The Good Samaritan is merciful, helps out, but he could have been stoned for what he did. Takes mercy, risks being taken advantage of. If you're that person who just loves and loves and gives and gives and serves, you might get a really sore back carrying those couches up the chair to move the person, but you know what? It's worth it. And mercy can risk your reputation. Finally, the man of mercy, Jesus, the who of mercy. I want to close out here. Jesus says to the Pharisees who are living pious, arrogant lives, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Go and learn what this means. I haven't come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners. The New Living says it this way. I love it. Then he added, go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I have come to call those not who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. He's quoting Hosea 6, for those of you taking notes, and Samuel 15. Amazing stuff. Jesus is drawing it in. And then he says this in Luke 18, to some who are confident of their own righteousness, Jesus modeling mercy, he's teaching it. To those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. We call that a Pharisee. We would never say it out loud. But sometimes when we talk about people and when we walk by people and when we are around people, we can demonstrate a condescending attitude. He said this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Good thing to do, men, on Father's Day, pray. One a Pharisee, another tax collector. Tax collector is lowest on the totem pole. The Pharisee stood up, interesting, by himself. Wow, I love the way Jesus speaks. He stood up by himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. This is in Luke 18. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. He's just proud of his spiritual disciplines. They're good disciplines. But the tax collector stood at a distance. This is awesome. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. It's called being poor in spirit, humble, meek. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to unpack that because that's an amazing word. He doesn't actually say, have mercy on me, a sinner. He uses a beautiful little Greek phrase called hilaskomai. Hilaskomai. And it carries propitiation and expiation in that word. I'll explain it. I like the translation, have mercy on me, it's good. But what he actually says is, God, only you can wipe away my sin. That's expiation. Can you wipe away my sin, please? Then he realizes that there has to be an atonement, a blood sacrifice. And he says, would you make an atonement, a propitiation? Would you take what I deserve, wrath of God, punishment? Would you take that and make an atonement for me? Isn't that beautiful? Next time you hear that, have mercy on me, a sinner, hilaskomai. He says, would you make an offering? You don't owe me and you don't know me. But would you help? Would you help? What a posture. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified. The woman caught in adultery. You know the story. Jesus kneels down, starts to write on the ground. They drag her in. They stand her up. It says they brought her, which is a legal term. They stood her up, a legal term. Jesus condemned this woman. She's been sleeping around. And he kneels down and he writes on the ground. Now, we can spend a lot of time on what he wrote. I'll unpack it because I want to teach you this a bit longer. I'm going to tell you something. The emphasis in the Greek is not on what he wrote. It's on his finger. That's where it starts, the finger. Where is the finger of God used in the Bible? I'm asking. He wrote with his finger the big Ten Commandments. Yes. Where else is it used? Boom, on the writing on the wall in Daniel. Thank you, Matthew. Good timing. Writing on the wall. Finger of God, writing the word of God on the wall of God. And in the Daniel passage, it says, you have been weighed. Many, many tackle parson. You've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. Jesus is literally letting everyone in that little circle know that finger right there is the finger of God himself, who is the only judge, the merciful judge. And they slowly walk away because the old guys get it. It says the oldest to the youngest, we're out of here. This guy is other. And looks at this woman. And now she's standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only judge, the merciful judge. And he says to her, it's beautiful, where are your accusers? Her response is awesome, you guys. You want a sinner's prayer? No one, sir. Kyrios, Lord, Master, King, supreme authority, Lord, you're the master. You're the king. No one's condemning me. He says, neither do I. Go and live the blessed, the flourishing, the life of no sin. There's lots more, but I just want to finish with a story. And I'll ask you to, in a moment, to show that slide, but not right now. Thanks, Alicia. I love listening to podcasts. And when I hear stuff that illustrates biblical truth, it makes me very happy. So there's a little boy, and this is the Father's Day message, men. Because the common denominator of lots of serial killers and hurt people is mommy and a dad. If you're politically minded, the answer is good, strong family. You're single, get alongside a family. Good, strong families. Grandma, grandpa, family units. And this little guy is ignored by dad, but he works in the dress shop with mom and across the street's the variety store and the gas station. So he grows up seeing his dad go to the variety store and the gas station every day and he gets ignored by his dad. So when he gets older and he realizes he's a bit charismatic, he's got some speaking gifts and he can act, he goes into modeling and acting and he's doing really well, very successful. And some slime ball, I don't use the phrase for any other reason, says, hey, would you like to make an adult video? We use the word adult entertainment. Bible uses the Greek word porneos. It's the junk drawer for sexual immorality. And he says, no, why would I do that? Well, here's the price tag. Beautiful vehicle, pulls him into this incredible building because that particular industry is a big scourge on our time. It makes billions of dollars a year. In fact, the MLB, the NHL, and the NFL does not make as much money as the pornography industry. So he gets basically encouraged to do this. He says, what's the big deal? One video, $500 cash, what's the problem? And for 10 years, he's locked into that world. The drugs, the alcohol, the abuse, the suicide is unbelievable. So many of his friends in that industry just kill themselves because you were not created to do that. Well, he's at the bank one day, amazing, and he's shaking because what they do to humiliate you is they put on the check in the note the name of the crazy, creepy video that you did or the act. And he sits down, he slides the check over to this woman, he can't even look at her, and as he tells the story, he's actually shaking, because he's like, I can't believe my life has come to this. He hasn't talked to his family in a long time, he's desperate, and he's shaking. And the woman at the teller, God bless her, she takes the check and she cashes it. And in that industry, they give you a name, they change your name so that they can own you, and that's your stage name. She doesn't say anything. He's expecting, you're so creepy, a slap in the face, get lost. She actually walks over and she puts her hand on his shoulder and she says, Joshua, Joshua. This is the first time this man has heard his name in 3 years. And she says, Joshua, do you need help? Do you need some help? That day, he literally calls everybody in the industry and he quits. And he calls his mom, Southern Baptist lady, and says, "Mom, I'm sorry. I know I have ignored you and I've been in this industry." And he says, like a great Southern mom, she cussed me out. And she said, "You have been living," and she just ripped him to shreds. And then she said this, which he didn't expect, "But you'll always be my son. I love you. And would you please come home?" As he tries to rebuild his life, he ends up at a gym because he's a personal trainer. It's all he knows. And he's working out one day and he sees this girl who's really focused on exercise. And he's like, "Wow, wouldn't it be nice to have a date with her?" And he starts asking her and she says, "No, no, no," every time. And finally, he's so persistent. She says, "I go for a run every Sunday morning before church. And if you want to go on a date, we can go on a run before church. Come and see me." And he does. He said the run turned into a bit of a slow walk, and halfway through he decided, "I need to come clean and be honest and just tell you what I am." And he says, "This is what I've done. Here's my history. I've been in this industry. It's all over the internet and it's never going to leave. That's who I am." And in a stroke of absolute mercy, this woman looks at him and says, long pause, "I'm not minimizing what you've done and the effect you've had, but you are not defined by your worst moments, and you will never be defined by your best. I serve a God whose identity you can find wholeness, love, and help in. And if you trust that God, he will change your life. Now, what do you like to eat?" And she took him out for lunch. And he literally, that's a good time to clap there, Xavier. I agree. And he's aghast. Takes him to church, hears the gospel, understands the grace of God. And as he's in the church service, hearing that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of God. He literally hears that word, joy? Like, really? Joy set, and he thinks, what is the joy? He's wondering, what's the joy? And then he realizes that God loves me. And he's in church, uncontrollably sobbing, going, "He loves me. He showed mercy to me." And here he is, married, family, living for Jesus, gets a PhD and a master's degree, and now he's teaching the Bible in a church. And that woman, God bless her, that's not something I would have signed up for, but God bless her, she heard from the Lord, married that guy, and history's changed because of an act of mercy. And you have the Spirit of the living God in you right now, and you can do that this week. You can do it today. Be merciful, for the God within you loves mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. We've all received it, and we don't deserve it. And we're so thankful. Give us the courage, Lord, to walk out mercy this week, to cover everything we do with your mercy, your chesed loving kindness on the difficult things, on the irritating things, on the things that bring us fear. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Your mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Jesus, great is your faithfulness and your mercy. Amen and amen. Thanks, children. The kids got something for you men to hand out. Praise team, come and sing, please. And I'll give you a doxology in a minute. As the praise team plays, the little kids are going to hand a little gift to the guys.
please join with us as we sing our last song.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Thanks, kids, for doing that. That's really cool. Dads, we wish you every blessing today. Yep. I'm going there. You know, there's teachers in the room telling me how to close out when I've already had the plan, right? Love it. It's Father's Day, girls. Chill. Joshua, the individual I spoke of, he didn't have a great dad experience. He didn't have a great dad experience. And I haven't had a fathering experience. But that doesn't mean you can't father and son and understand the greatness of God through fatherhood. So when he's in that service, understanding that God loves him, he literally got downloaded a slideshow of every moment of his life. God does this, I've heard it many times. He got downloaded a slideshow of every moment in his life from childhood to that moment where God had actually intervened and rescued him and had his hand upon him, his entire life. It was just an amazing account of God meeting him where he was. And it's why songs like this are written. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, this is your song this week, friends, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, that's mercy, and made me free. Walk in mercy this week. Love you. Take care. See you next week. Wedding rehearsal.